Let's just do it. Everybody's
All
already
right, lay it
listening
on
right
me.
now, right? They're already listening it as we speak.
I guess so.
All right. Big things I want to talk about is I am, the folks at home know that I've been doing shipping, which I've been getting better at it. Some people will be like, man, this is slow. Now, sometimes the number one thing I've learned about shipping is nobody really, because I don't either, I'm including me, number one in this, nobody really reads about what a pre-order is. They think they ordered it, and because of Amazon, that it's going to be there in 2 days. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah, people don't
this.
read
Yeah, I
stuff.
mean, they just don't read. It's not their fault. I understand it. They can't read it. You know what I mean? And you don't want to plaster it everywhere that you're not going to get your stuff for a month. But like, we did a pre-order, and then it's been like 20 something days, and I got most of the order, but the order was screwed up, and so then it got the second half of the order just came. So I'm fulfilling those all last night. I'm down from like 200 orders down to under 50, maybe around 40. But another of the second shipment got screwed up. So we're supposed to get like 22 XLs and we got 8 3XLs. And so I got 2 2XLs and I'm like, well, there's nothing I can do, but I understand the only people that our customers look at is us. Why isn't Emery doing this? You know what I mean? So I get it. So that part's frustrating about the shipping and fulfillment world is that I have, there's so many components that I have no say in. Like if the printer messes up or, anything. Like if there's a power outage at my house, I can't print shirts or ship stuff or whatever. And then the biggest, most worst one that just destroys me is international shipping. Part one of international
Yeah,
shipping,
sucks.
it's ridiculously expensive. Like the cheapest I ever see it is $30, and oftentimes it's $45.50. And so we have to charge for that, and it makes me feel bad because I think our customers in like Australia or some are thinking, oh man, Emery, couldn't you just cut me on that? But I mean, we would have to pay $50 out of pocket to get you that shirt that you're paying $30 for. So,
Yeah.
you know what I mean? So it sucks.
I mean, ideally, bands have international merch companies that
Yes.
print and ship there, but we just don't have all that.
I don't know if it's worth it or not. You know what I mean? Like
Probably to some degree,
we
but
might could find somebody in Europe and then a person in Australia just to do it, because I
yeah.
would love to give our Australian fans cheaper prices. I would love that.
Yeah,
So
you can't do it everywhere, but you can do it in some place, some territories, the main ones.
I
According to
think
our
parts I think
Spotify
parts of
data.
uses parts of Europe and then Australia, that's all I would care about.
Right.
But here's the thing I don't understand either. Katie and I have been looking into it. I would say 85% to 90% of the international shipments I send totally go through and everything's fine. And then there's 5 to 10% that just get returned. I just got one from Australia and it said, could no one claimed it. No one got, and I'm like, well, shit. I gotta get this back to them. But at this point, okay, if they didn't claim it or something went wrong because of the post office or whatever, because it's our company, we probably have to take the hit. So do I now, we do pay another $50 to get it to them in Australia. You know what I mean? Like that's us now
Yes. Yeah.
sending that to them again and praying to God that it gets there.
Yeah, I mean it feels like the postal service should take some responsibility. I guess you have to
I know.
pay an insurance or something, or I don't,
That's
that's
true.
just if it
Oh, that's
gets all
true. Maybe I can start
damaged,
looking
or
into, yeah, maybe I can start looking into international insurance, but I'm sure
is
it's
that for
expensive.
return packages too, not just lost or damaged or something?
Oh yeah, I don't know. Like a return one, maybe they still don't give you insurance on it.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. So it's tricky.
It's really frustrating. I get it, but I'm like, so Katie and I are going to talk with our company that does our shipping service and see if there's any way we can just guarantee that the packages will get there. That's we're going to do that next week, because otherwise it's just like, damn it, this is so sucky.
So funny though, because think about like there's levels to the complexity and how complicated that stuff is. Like somebody ordered something and all they want is the thing, right?
Right.
Like if I order something, I go, oh, I like that shirt. I'm going to
Yeah.
order that. And then they go, okay, well, now it's in their hands. And
Yeah.
then you get the, or no, we get the order and hopefully it was printed correctly. And sometimes it's not. Like you said, sometimes the wrong sizes are sent or the wrong things are sent. And so that's, looks bad on us,
Right.
Now, maybe there's a way for customer service to say, hey, sorry, we got the wrong sizes, whatever. But there's a lot of levels to that. And then the next thing is the guy who's printing is hard. That's also hard, which right. you're about to get into.
Yeah.
Is also hard. I mean, hard. You have to get hundreds of these shirts in the right sizes with the right designs at the right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's a lot. And then yeah. the next thing is when you're shipping, and then there's a postal service that has billions of packages shipped
every so much and every day.
Of course they're going to make mistakes, or of course they're not going to get, like, every level of everything that happens is very complicated.
Well, yeah, you're right.
Luckily the systems work pretty well, but I mean, it's
yeah,
insane.
Overall the systems work great. And I think too, one of the things I think really has hurt people as far as understanding stuff.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Do you remember you used to send a letter and it was like a week before anybody, mm-hmm. it didn't matter if it was just like less, you know, if it was just from like yeah. Greer, South Carolina to Charleston, South Carolina, you know what I mean? Like
yeah,
it would take a long time and everybody's like, okay, this is snail mail. You know what I mean? And now with Amazon, you're like, what? No. I mean, I'm shocked when Amazon takes 3 days. Like if it takes 3 days, I'm like, ugh.
Amazon has just made everything better and absolutely worse. I mean, it's like the expectations that we have because of Amazon only is just unbelievable. Unreal.
Yeah. I mean, it's a real monopoly on the, like, you know, I know there's like Alibaba or whatever, this kind of similar, but still, like, I mean, no one, like, I'm still surprised people, you know, were doom and gloom about, oh, one day you'll see Walmart will crash. I don't even know. Walmart makes some real changes and are making some improvements that I think it's going to be around for quite a while because they already have all the land. So they can literally ship stuff always in bulk to their businesses as mm-hmm. a storage in your town, in every small town everywhere, and have that there. Whereas Amazon has those big warehouses, like Champaign has a big Amazon warehouse, has one, but we have two Walmarts, and then the next town over has a Walmart. All the, you know, there's Walmarts everywhere, so they'll be able to pivot and use those in ways as warehouse storage facilities, even if people stop shopping in person as much. But Amazon, I mean, Walmart's in great position, but anyway, okay, so I wanted to just talk to y'all about that for a second because I'm starting this. I'm excited. I'm a little nervous. I'm going to be buying a printing press from Hawthorne Heights. And I think I'm going to go there this coming Monday maybe and get it. But there's a lot to do there with, like, my startup, Poppy, their drummer. He taught me for 2 days how to use this machine. And Poppy was so great. I promise y'all. He was just, like, exactly everything you'd want in a teacher. Like, totally chill, but, like, so relaxed. Even if you messed up, it's fine. He's just comforting, like, in a great way, but always telling you a harsh reality too. You know what I mean? So he's not mm-hmm. like, oh, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. You know, like JT's like, you're going to make $1,000 in a day if you just do it. You know, JT's like this dreamer. You know, he's like, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be the easiest thing. Go pick it up, bring it to your garage, start printing money, man. You know, he's like, you know, JT's the idea man who honestly is the driving force behind that band in lots of ways. But I appreciate Poppy, like, kind of is more like he's a woodworker. He works with his hands. He's been doing printing forever. But it was really nice because he would just also say, well, you know, this, you know, you'd ask him a question. He'd go, no, this is what it is. I just really enjoyed it. Like, I thought it was a very fun. It was like one of the better times I've had a learning experience, even though it was like all day for 2 days and exhausting because there's so much. I mean, it's so much prep when you're using this press because it's an automatic press. It's not, you know, the hand squeegee. It's the automatic squeegee. But it was really fun learning how to do, I mean, one color and then two colors and then all the stuff you have to do with the screens and setup and all the equipment. You know, there's a lot to it, but it was really fun. But I'm nervous because, you know, we're going to drop some cash on this thing and then start printing shirts. But even if we just print them for Emory, And I was even going to tell everybody, y'all should order some. Y'all have some Toby. I made 50 shirts, 50 of our I Will Wait For You Forever throwback shirt, and then 50 of our fishbowl guy with the blue. The hoodies have purple. This one has blue. And I think they turned out great. Like, I was really stoked on being able to do this. Like, I thought it was really fun. And the cool thing about printing shirts is, for me, it's going to be so good for my brain to go, you have to go slow or else you'll really fuck up. You know what I mean? Like that's what I love. Like, I can't rush through trying to add the emulsion or whatever on the screen so that then it goes through here and heat this up just because I got to get 300 shirts done. I'm not going to do that. That's what he was saying. He was like, listen, you should, no matter what, never take a job you don't feel that comfortable about. And if it's something too much, like if somebody's like, yeah, I want three colors on the front and four on the back, and could you have that in 3 weeks? You just go, no. Like, you're not going to chase money with this. It will come to you with this business in a way, because people need T-shirts, you know, even if that's locally or bands that we know. I mean, we have so many connections. And I'm not necessarily trying to get rich, even though I would love it. But what I do want to do is, this is kind of like a side hustle for when I'm home and I can just go, hey, I'm not on tour in August, even though we are going to be, by the way. But like, if I wasn't on tour in August, I go, I can print shirts then. So I can set those up and say, hey, I can have these to you August 15th, you know?
Yeah.
So that's really cool. Second, all right, I'm talking a lot. Y'all got anything? Do y'all want to hop in with anything you need to talk about? I mean,
well, you know,
my life's crazy. Sure, Matt went to South Korea. So what? That doesn't seem that crazy. All right, I'll talk. Let me get one more thing out about the printing, because I want to run this idea by y'all, because, you know, people like hearing behind the scenes. This is Songs and Stories. So this is the story of Toby trying to figure out how to run a business. The reason I was couldn't start till 10:30 is because I just bought 2 35-pound weight plates from a guy for $40. I was like, oh, this is awesome, because those are like $100 each. And he was selling both for $40. I was like, this is gonna be so cool, because I can lift weights in the basement. I need two more. I wish they were 45s, but 35s are great, especially getting this price. So Devin, I went to his place. It's right across the street from what's the cool bar, the Sliders bar downtown Champaign,
Seven Saints.
Yeah, that place. It's right across the street from there. It's bigger than Hawthorne Heights place that you and I went to, and he's moving out of it, and they will rent it to me for $1,200 a month. I'd be in downtown Champaign. The best location in Champaign I could be. And I was like, huh, do you think? And so he said he's going to connect me with them, and, you know, I'll see. And he said there's other spaces too. And I was like, huh. So the big thing would be, if I was going to rent a space, maybe still would want to be able to, like, make some noise, play some drums sometimes. Like, the guys are in town. That would be our practice space.
Is it above? Because it's funny, because there's a bar called Poor Brothers or what there. Is that what you're talking about? Anyway, there's a bar there. Somebody got shot like a week ago right there. It's not a bad part of town, but there was some kind of situation.
But I mean, that's where everybody
goes
to hang out at night. I mean,
it's a good area. It's not dangerous, but somebody got shot and they died. It was somebody who worked at the bar right there. But that's a cool little area there. I was wondering if it's like above a bar, or is it like residential for noise? Because if you were up a bar, it wouldn't matter.
It's probably above like a little shoe repair shop.
Oh, okay. Like Geppetto.
So, yeah, yeah. He came out and was like, hello, I can fix your shoes if you get this place. I like you. I'm a Mario.
That's cool, though.
A cobbler. This is a little cobbler. But I was like, and the place is huge, though. I mean, it would be awesome. I mean, for storage, for everything. I mean, I could do everything. I don't think I could live in it. But this guy was like, he's kind of almost like an American Pickers guy. Like, he has all this stuff he said he's had it for 10 years, and he said he's just trying to sell stuff and clean it out. So he like found a lawnmower in there, and he just sold that today, and then sold me the plates. And we were talking, and he said he would connect me with him. So I'm at least going to ask. I'm going to look into it. And I was like, that, because I mean,
that's cool. Yeah.
Honestly, if I could get that space, because he's moving out no matter what, I bet he would let me go ahead and move the machine in there. Like, what if I just moved it in there immediately?
Like, can you rent half of it as a rehearsal space to bands and make, you know what I mean?
Well, if I can make money,
maybe make $600 by parting out rehearsal rooms or something.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to talk to them and just see. Like, it could be they want to sell the whole building. So my goal would be try to rent it, see if I could get it like stuff. That, now, here's the problem. What the guy told me, it's not zoned for a business.
Business, yeah.
So you couldn't have a worker because they don't have the right elevator for somebody that like is handicapped. You know what I mean? Like you have to have a correct. So you'd have, you may, if you actually wanted to make a storefront out of it or anything, somehow you'd have to maybe make some real changes. But they want to sell the building anyway. But I bet the building downtown, Champaign, has to be what, $1 million?
Probably.
I mean, that would, I think it would have to be. I mean, it is huge. I mean, it's a like the space that he's renting for $1,200. I was like, gosh, I wonder if I could even just turn this into my house and like rent my house and live in the thing. Like, I might would even consider that.
Now you're talking.
My kids wouldn't care at all. They would love to be downtown. I mean, there's parks everywhere.
Now you're talking.
So then I just live downtown. But now I'm a little nervous because you're right. I was wondering why was he, because you said somebody got shot and the guy that showed me the plates, he actually was covered in blood and he said it was just his own. And so what if he was the killer? He's a really nice guy. I'm joking.
That's a great area. So, I mean, even just the location and everything, I mean, it'd probably go up in value just because of the university and all the
I was like,
stuff,
man,
you know?
Shit, if I could just live there for a little while and then just go from there, I don't know. I'm gonna be kinda, my kids would lose their mind if we lived downtown. They're, you know that, I mean, the
nightlife, I know. Dude, I love
God.
It.
Oh, my God. That's why it's probably dangerous for me. I'd literally, if I lived there, half a block away is a awesome bars, like actually really cool bars. That Seven Saints bar is amazing.
Yeah, it's a cool place.
That's a great bar. So I don't know. I'm just thinking about it, but I've been looking forever. I've never found anything that cheap.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have your ear to the ground to find a lot of that stuff. People, they get snatched up if it's a good spot usually, but that's cool. I mean, so I think we'll it's fun. I mean, I remember we went and you know, evaluated the printing setup a few years ago. Because we were interested in it, and it seemed a little daunting. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh man, that's a lot. But I mean, it feels like it's the right thing to do, and it's simple enough to be able to work. You know, just print stuff for us, and then beyond that, who knows? I mean, you can take off pretty good.
Yeah, I looked into so much stuff, and for us, just as a band, it's going to save us money to print our own shirts. Like, it will pay for itself, even if just Emory is the only client, if you will. But I do like, too, having an automatic press. I don't think at 47 I want to start pulling squeegees
manual
across shirts 300 times a day. That seems physically not sustainable. I could do it now, but when I'm 55, I don't want to do that. But if I get really good on this machine, really learn some stuff and do that, and then, get a space or something, gosh. I mean, it would just be so awesome. I don't know. It would just be cool. So anyway, all right. I wanted to just drop all that on you. I have something else I want to talk about, but I want to hear about Matt's surprise trip to South Korea.
One thing that was really funny before about Matt's trip was I thought was so funny was because y'all, I don't know what you paid or whatever for the flight, but I remember the whole part of the whole deal was like, ooh, we could pay $500 and get business class to Japan potentially or South Korea, whatever.
Yeah, the original was Japan.
And I was like, oh man, $500 for business class. That's because I mean, it's a $10,000 ticket or whatever.
I know. I was really considering it.
I was like, that's amazing. But then I was like, oh, where are you guys going? And Aaron said, no, we're going, we have to go to South Korea instead. And I was like, well, that's cool. I was like, so how's business class? And Matt goes, I'm in 53B.
It's 57B, which is the exact back row. That's right.
The very back row.
So
very
what
back
happened?
Middle.
Just business class wasn't available at all?
So it's a buddy pass. And Aaron's wife works for Delta. And so me and McDonald, we're going to go with Lunsford. And the pitch was, hey, y'all want to go to Tokyo for the weekend and fly business class? I said, well. Yeah. I can't. There's no way to say no to that.
Right.
There's no way. Even no matter how much I'm gone, or I was gone with Songs and Stories 2 weeks ago, and I got a bunch coming up. But like Bridget, really, there's no way I'm going to say no to this, because what am I going to do? Be sitting here Saturday afternoon looking at y'all, you know?
Right. Well, she's so mad.
No, she was. I mean, she understood. But I mean, that's where she wants to go too. It's like the main thing she would want is to go to Tokyo. It's one of the only places I've ever wanted to go that I haven't had the opportunity to go to. It's not that I want to travel all over the globe, but Tokyo, yeah, business class. Yeah. And it was going to cost about $500. And then Aaron, it's because he did good with his sales this year. He just like, he made a bunch of money in his job. And then he had his mother-in-law in town. So he says, I'm just doing this. He said, I'll pay for the Airbnb or the hotel or whatever. So all you got to do is pay for your buddy pass, which is about $500. And so I was like, that's just a no brainer. Yeah. But it's standby and he flies a different class of, he's a S2. And then the buddy passes are S4 as far as your standby class.
Oh. Okay.
And so he has a different, you know, priority. But when he's looking at the flights and everything, as it's getting close, he's like, well, Tokyo's looking, that flight's looking more full than it looked like when we planned the day. So it keeps shifting, you know, as we get closer. Because we just planned it a week or two out. And then, but no plans or anything. So that's what I liked about it. It was just saying yes to something that's undetermined. So to me, that yeah. all the adventure part of it is part of it. It's like no plans, don't know where, don't even know exactly what day we're going or what nation we're going to. I like that kind of.
Yeah.
But originally that was the idea. So then we moved it a day early and decided to go to Seoul, South Korea instead of Japan because the flight looked better. And then you got to worry about getting home too. Because you fly standby, if you can't get on the return flight, you're just stuck. So that's the other thing that makes it, you know, intense in that way. So the South Korea move sound really good, which is just, you know, if you look at it on the globe, it's just you fly over Japan, flew right over Tokyo.
That's cool.
And that's where you get to South Korea. So we did that. And then when we got to the airport, it was just pretty busy on that flight. So we got bumped. Aaron got Comfort Plus on the way up there. And then me and McDonald got just main cabin. And then on the way back, we did get Comfort Plus and Aaron got business class. And we missed business class by two. Ooh, like the next two people in business class would have been me and McDonald on the way back.
Wow.
So just missed it. But we spent 48 hours, a little bit more than 48 hours, probably 50 something hours in South Korea. Just went there, got off the plane, said, I wonder what we should do. I wonder where we should stay.
Yeah.
And did that for, you know, 2.5 days, just straight. It was very awesome. So I can tell you about South Korea, what I learned, but you can just ask him whatever questions you have, but it's definitely one of those, you know, a transformational experience where you get the, I was really looking forward to just being in the East without having any, like getting there and they're here, the promoter's going to pick us up, we got to be there at 8 or whatever it is, none of those things. Just I'm there and there, I don't have to do anything or meet anybody. There's nothing I have to do.
Yeah, that's like, I totally thought that while y'all were there. I was like, wait, they don't have to play a show. You know what I mean? Like that that part is, you know, there's like no stress. Like,
right. And I didn't feel any burn. I was spending like $7,000.
Right.
So yeah, I did not spend $1,000.
Wow.
That's awesome.
I did not spend all of my money, the Uber's there, it would cost as much as anything. And I mean, to get to the airport and back and all that. But, I spent under $1,000 total, including the flight. So, got a full, you know, two days of really being out there and doing it. You get a lot. Like, you could do a lot more in a week or something, but the 2 days is you get the full deal. So, no pressure, no obligation, no kids, no wife, no shows, no nothing. So, and just to be in the East and then take the way I would frame it after that is there's the shallow level of drink this, eat that, see that. And then there's the deep level of what is this whole culture ancient to now in the world, you know, the whole perspective, the deep stuff, the spiritual, the everything. So, you know, just to get that perspective in a wide open way with nothing, like that's, to me, that's just like perfect. So that's what's so good about it. It's just, you know, I have a more understanding.
So my question is, best thing about South Korea, like you're there, you're like, if you're gonna say, hey, this is what you're gonna love, what's the thing? Is it the food?
So it's 9 million people in that city, and it is just, you know, like, remember we went to Brazil and it just looks like the city just goes every direction forever with skyscrapers. It's like that. But and so you're driving from the airport and you're coming in, you're just thinking, okay, so it's an endless city. And it's giant. It's 9 million people. Seattle has less than a million,
man,
in the city. In the relative terms, in that greater area, there's more in Western Washington,
almost 10
Seattle, Tacoma area. But Yeah, and it definitely look. It's at least 10 Seattle skylines. I mean, no doubt about that. Like when you come back and see Seattle, it's like, oh, that looks big, but it's big in one spot, and this is big in, you know, multiple directions, big. And so you get that feeling coming in, and then you're thinking, okay, so is it so? And you have that picture in your mind of Tokyo where it's insanely dense and crazy and neon and bright and fast, and you're thinking, you know how New York feels. So I'm thinking it's like that, and then you just drive in with the taxi. And it is not like what I don't know what Tokyo's like, but it's not like Manhattan of the East, like I imagine Tokyo is, and then some futuristic neon. I don't know. That's how I think of Tokyo. But
yeah,
this is like immediately when you're getting in there, you're thinking, so it's not intense here. It's not intense. It's not, I mean, it's calm. Like, oh, like the guy, do you just drive around, slowly drive toward the hotel? Like, it's not pressurized at all. Do you know what I mean? Like feels
the,
just
the
calm.
Vibe
like it feels
is
like
chill.
You're in a yeah it feels like you're in a small place. Like the when I said, you know, the emotional, just the sensation, the like the pace, it's just people, and it just doesn't feel intense and scary and fast like that. That doesn't feel that way despite being big. It feels very, very safe, very approachable, very, like, you don't feel like, okay, I'm in a city, I need to really do right. You just do not feel that way at all. You just feel like, oh, so it's just easy. It's like, that is the feeling. Immediately, the strong feeling was like, and then I'm looking around thinking, but is this even a big city? Like, it doesn't feel like a big city, but I'm seeing it big. And so that was the paradox of trying to figure out what is different here. And is it cultural or whatever? But that, but it's just, then the next
was
level of that is that very clean.
And did that, like, when you go to New York, there's street vendors and all kinds of stuff. Was it similar that way?
They had street. It's just, it's very clean. It's very organized. It's disciplined. It's not, you know, stinky, or it doesn't have that craziness. Like you would think, like, it doesn't feel this crazy international hustle and bustle. That's not how it feels, but it is big. It is modern. It is nice. Yeah. And it is foreign. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's foreign.
You felt foreign being there.
Yeah. You don't recognize or know what this is and what that is, but it's, you know, but it has, so basically it's a lot of Westernness to it there. So it's like this, you know, it feels like a Western city. It's not like if you went to Vietnam or India or anything like that. Like, it's not, it feels more like a Western organized, nice city where they keep it clean and it's the well policed, I think, is the vibe I'm getting, that they do have a good police presence. And like, they leave the stuff outside of the shops, like the food and even alcohol, like sitting outside of the stores, and nobody's going to steal it. Like, definitely not. Like, not
is
even.
Is everybody seem pretty pleasant?
Yes. Okay. So then, the next level is the food and everything for being in such a massive city that feels like totally premium or whatever. That's a stupid word, but that's one way to get it in your head. It's not expensive. So probably half the price you would maybe think that something would be, like maybe $7 to go into some restaurant in the cool place and get something that would be $16, you would think it would be. Something like that. So that and the beers and stuff, I mean, they're just the food, it just basically is cheap. Not cheap like Mexico or a third world place, but cheap for especially being that. So that's just the foundation. It's like, what a good place to be. Go anywhere, eat and drink, feel like you're not spending a lot of money, and you're just getting all this, you know. And so in that way is really awesome. And then the thing that's interesting that I can piece together out of it that's cool is, like, they're not like very nice people who you feel are very respectful and all that stuff. And I would not at all say cold, but not interactive. So nobody talked to me much. And I don't think much people, it felt like nobody would even look at me.
Oh, really?
That's the way I was. Yeah, it's like, because I'm pretty used to, even if I walk around in my neighborhood or a U.S. city, I am always noticing me being noticed.
Right.
I get noticed. I feel eyes on me. you know, and maybe I cause it, but since I was a little kid, I've always been used to it, whether or not I'm trying to get attention, it's going to find me typically because I might stick out or be weird or like this or that. So especially in a foreign country, you got this big, tall, goofy me walking around. It's like I'm usually aware of being in the awareness of others. And in this place, it was not like that. It was like I felt not invisible or cold. It wasn't that, but they are like a discipline. They're, like if I look to make eye contact or have an interchange with somebody, it's probably not coming back. They're just going to continue. Like they're not intrigued by me or anything, which is weird. Like it's an odd feeling for me personally, based on the way that I typically interact in the world or notice things. And I wouldn't even say that's bad because it just made it feel easy and it was fun. But it's just like me and McDonald Lunsford just walking around as if we totally belong there and we're blended in, invisible. Nobody cared at all.
That's cool.
So it was like, it felt like you could like invisibly just participate in this totally other culture. So it's really
communication
really
wise was fine. Like you spoke English or did people speak English like fairly well?
I mean, there wasn't much communication. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know why it was pretty easy. You just walk around, you do what you want to do when you're in the restaurant.
That's a lot
you
of pointing.
Look, yeah, you might point or whatever, but and maybe they know enough English. You know, the first place we went to this restaurant where it was just this weird place that we found, McDonald found somehow that was supposed to be good. And we went to it and it was this weird place up in this place. We didn't even think it was there. And we found this weird stairwell where you went up to it and it was just this room where the guy, when we went in there, we said soup because it's a soup thing. And he was like, we couldn't communicate with each other with language, but he was trying to tell us probably we don't want to eat here, I think, but it was really nice. But we're like, and we just, McDonald was like, no, soup. And then he's like, okay. And he let us come in and sit. But this place was, they only have one thing and he was the only person that worked there and he makes a bowl of soup. And it's, I mean, it was the absolute greatest possible soup and meal that as an experience, there was nothing better because
that is awesome.
It's just
that's cool.
One guy and he makes this soup and all, you know, all these bowls of these little foods. I don't know what they are and spreads them out. And it's this very nice, cool thing, but it's just a restaurant. And the sign said owner chef restaurant and it has chicken soup. That's it. And everybody that comes in gets what he gives them. And he's the only person that works there. And it's just his place. And
I bet it's so good.
You could. It couldn't be. There's no way it could be better. I can't explain all what the foods were in the bowls and how the soup was. But it's obviously an ancient like thing. Like it's not something. Right. It's just whatever a family had done or would do for many generations to get as good as the way this is.
Right.
And he makes that food in that place, and you just so
that's so
and
cool.
And is the nicest possible, like the softest. Most gentle man I ever encountered, you know.
Well, it's probably a generational thing. I mean, it kind of reminds me of Kung Fu Panda. There's his dad makes noodles and soup, and this is passed down generation to generation. He wants him to learn how to make noodles and soup because it's good. So, I mean, I can see that being like a family heirloom, which is really – that's like going to somebody's house and just eating the best thing they make.
Right.
Yeah, right. That's cool. Like I'm so glad they didn't have a menu, and I would never want to have to. You know, I would do that every day if there was that. I would just go to the place where the person makes the thing that they know. Like you could almost see that at a barbecue place or something. It's like you just go and get the brisket at the brisket place, and they happen to have a menu. But even they shouldn't. I mean, it's just have one thing. Yeah.
That's a great point. You're right. Like that feels so much better. You go. I want soup. This is what they do. You know what I mean? Like,
I want to eat what
less
you make.
Choices is so nice. Like that, just the actual less choice thing. It sounds like.
Well, and all the time you go to restaurants, I do this often. Like, what do you recommend? What's the best thing here?
Right.
But even still, you know they make 12 things, and you say, "What do you want?" But what if they only made one thing?
I know.
And they serve it the way they serve it, and you get it. That is the best. Everybody knows that's the best. But you know, you should. I'm sure there is more of that, but that was really. Really good. And so then on the deeper level, then you know, the second day or one of the days we spent that we walked all around and did museum like stuff. So the walking is just awesome. And so we did the war memorial course, the Korean War Memorial, and then second, we did the National Museum. Both were far, but walking distance in one whole day. So that, and I mean, you know how I like the Natural History Museum in New York. So
yeah,
it's kind of like that experience, but from their perspective. So not only are you getting the history and the everything else, but you're getting it. You can see it. Them their curation of natural history and history and their war history and their ancient civilization all the way up is like really connected. Like it starts, like when they look at the war memorial, it's like the total war memorial all the way back from like even at that place, it kind of feels it starts in ancient times because every place has had conflict and war throughout. So it's like the dynasty this and the first kingdom that, and then there was this and all the way up, because all that plays into what eventually is the, you know, the most recent and major war that shaped the whole place, North and South Korea, the Korean War. So that to really that was just I cannot explain how cool that is to like see how the people were from ancient history, prehistory even. It starts, they just talk about, you know, when they started making tools and stone tools, and then there's a this and there's a kingdom, and then all the way up. So my grandpa was in the Korean War, and my grandpa and grandpa met there. So I've always known about, but had no knowledge of it. Just like, yeah, Korean War, something. But now it's like, I feel like an expert, not because I really know all the facts, but I just know the shape of and can connect to and see what it was and what the Americans did, how the Americans did, what it has to do with communism and China and Russia and my grandpa and what North Korea is. Like, it's like finally all that stuff just totally now makes sense to me. I could just talk about it like I feel like I could teach a class on it or something, like tell stories about it, even though I don't really know the facts. I just can connect all those things all at the same time by just spending the day in that museum. But, you know, I learned a bunch of stuff, but it's just the, like that war destroyed, the Korean War was like, it's Russia and China coming in with communism and us after World War II. And, you know, before that, Japan had taken over in like 1919, Japan had like annexed Seoul, taken part of Korea and stuff like that. So that whole area was like under a lot of pressure. Like it was going to get something happening to it one way or another. And the communists like had came in and were going to like really probably make it all communist or whatever. It was right after World War II. So America had to jump in real fast and sent like 300,000, like the South Korea had like 600,000 and we sent 300,000 people to fight that war. And
one of them was my pawpaw.
Yeah. And they destroyed almost all the cities in the 50s. Were absolutely destroyed. So now that city I'm talking about that we're in is so big. All of that has happened since then, since our grandpas were there, crazy. To now, and now it's bigger than any city here except for New York, you know, basically, and perfect and well run, because you know they got to build the city in totally in modern times, and there's a lot of Western influence, and then all of our tanks and all of our equipment is over there at the memorial. It's just like all this American stuff. So you go, oh, so they think we're awesome, you know, they appreciate like we're part of their history of this city. Yeah. And it's like 100 miles from North Korea. I mean, North Korea, the place where there's the scariest place to be, is these exact same people that live on the other side of some line.
And
it's these people are this way. And it's like, you know, and then not far away, it's just North Korea, the lights off.
Well, that's just what, I mean, even just listening to you talk, first thought is, can you imagine, like you just took a nice luxury trip to South Korea, but your granddad, my pawpaw, my granddad, like my granddad grew up in the middle of nowhere, Georgia. And then all of a sudden when he was like 18, 19, 20, was in Korea fighting.
Right. To risk his life to save theirs and have them get this city that I can go have soup in.
Like, that's just, I don't really visit that enough of what that actually meant. And he survived and saw his friends die and all kinds of, you know what I mean? Like it was,
Yeah, that's crazy.
He wouldn't even, I think I was pretty young, but he never, my dad even said he never really wanted to talk about it. It just was not, you know, but that's so wild that is the case. And then that obviously South Korea is doing totally great and amazing, are wonderful people, and don't need a ruthless dictator.
No, I mean, it's they're awesome. You know what I mean? Like, LG,
the people in North Korea
Samsung,
are the same.
LG, Kia, Hyundai, you know, are, you know, they, their companies are great. Their products are great. But, you know, it's they're the freaking K-pop music and all that right like there. But that, a lot of that's, if there's a Western and an Eastern fusion there, it's over 50% totally non-religious, nothing. And then, 24% Christian and only 16% Buddhist, even though the ancient, you know, has all that stuff. So it's actually low, relatively low Buddhist, but you know, the ancient wisdom, and it's like all, I don't know, just like the whole system is built different and backwards, but it's still global and modern with the Western overlay, but only since 1950. I don't know. It's just weird. It's crazy.
That's cool. That's awesome. That sounds like a really cool trip.
Yeah, I'm jealous. Now, there's one thing that Matt's leaving out, and we are going to go to part two, and Matt's going to tell us about how you ended up. You did, because you were outside the radius. You cheated on your wife. Don't say any details.
Oh, yeah.
No, don't say any details. Don't say any details. We want them to join Emory Land.
Before we go over to part two, let's talk about our shows coming up and all that kind of stuff, too. So we're going to be going on tour March 14th, Augusta, Georgia, March 15th, Atlanta, March 16th, Pensacola, 17th, Tampa, 18th, I'm sorry, 19th, Orlando, 20th, West Palm, 21st, Ponte Vedra, I think outside of Jacksonville, March 22nd, Birmingham.
My birthday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And we're going to be in Birmingham for that. That'll be fun.
We'll get loose in Birmingham on my birthday.
24th, Nashville. We're going to be doing some dates in May. We're going to the Midwest.
Yep.
Make sure you check all those dates and shows on emorymusic.com. You get tickets for the main show with the Almost. We're playing the Week's End. They're playing the Southern Weather with Matt, Chris, and Dave as his backing band, which is really awesome.
Yeah.
And then you can also get pre-show tickets for us and Aaron Gillespie playing acoustic. We play like songs.
So fun.
Hang out, take a big group selfie, just kind of hang out for a bit. It's really fun, really cool. You can bring up to two guests with one ticket. Some good deals. And we got lots of stuff going on. We're going to be doing lots of shows this summer, which will probably lead to my divorce.
No, Devin. Anything you need to know about divorce, just come to me.
I will come to you. You are the expert now. But we're going to be doing lots of stuff this year. It's going to be awesome. So go to emorymusic.com to check it out. You can join, you know, Emoryland, obviously, and we're about to do part two, where you get all the extra episodes, extra music, all the video specials. We've done a bunch now. So you can get all that stuff at emorymusic.com. Sign up for Emoryland.
Yep.
Right on. Join us over in part two, because what happens in Korea stays in part two.
Yep.
Got it.